Country Club FM.
Right into today's Bob Almanac. If you've been waiting for it all morning long, here it is. And probably a reminder here, just a public service message. The next keyword, the second of the four for the Lee Greenwood tickets, will be at 10:30 this morning. 10:30. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you'll probably mention that a few times because you have Lee Greenwood joining you at about 9:50 here this morning. Hopefully he remembers to call. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, February 13th, 44th day of the year, Thomas Edison observed on this date what was known as the Edison effect. You know, if you've got an effect named after you, that's pretty good. Like Doppler, the Doppler guy. Doppler effect. I mean, there's all kinds of that. What's the Freeman effect?
Some ways you become less intelligent the more I talk.
So the Edison effect is basically thermionic emission. That's what you see in an It's what you see in an incandescent light bulb. Edison came up with the whole thing. Although people claim that he stole some of the ideas, but it's when you heat up a little filament, and because of the resistance, you get the electrons, it glows in a vacuum, and that's your Edison effect, Neil.
Yeah.
Almost as
good
as... Take
somebody pretty smart to figure that out.
Almost good. Well, let's just say this. If Edison had listened to you talk, he never would have come up with the Edison effect because of the Freeman effect.
He would have been destitute and living as a hobo.
1920 this date, the National Negro Baseball League was formed. Like I mentioned before, I'm kind of stalled in the 1940s here. I haven't made it to the 1950s, but I've been catching back up and watching the baseball. Yeah, I think it's 30 years old now, that baseball, the Ken Burns baseball. Yeah, that was like 94. Yeah.
Oh,
that
my.
Was 94 they did that.
Wow. It's still so good.
It is very good. And because history hasn't changed, which is good. Because I don't know if somebody did it now, they might want to change history and change the narrative as they want to do. But so this is very good, and the beginning and how the Negro League started and expanded, and there was a rival one, and then the one that kind of came together, and just how good they were, and
great talent.
The kind of crowds that came out, and you had white and black crowds that were watching the Negro League teams, and you know they were playing in some cities that didn't have major league teams in those early years. So that was this date, 1920. 1932 here this date. We had quite a debut on Little Rascals this date in one of the more famous ones made its first debut.
Hi, Spanky. So you're going to the party too, eh?
Yeah.
Do you know how an airplane goes? How does an airplane go?
I don't know.
Don't you?
That's Spanky's hard to understand. You got to speak Spanky's. And I said it was his first debut. Is there such thing as a second debut?
I don't think so, but...
Did that one go over your head, or did you catch that one? Little Rascals.
I did catch it,
So Spanky McFarlane made his debut. Remember, that was in 32. They had different eras of Little Rascals and a different set of characters. Because at some point in time, they grow out of it.
Yes.
But I think, of course, my favorite lineup and probably the best known is when you had Spanky, Buckwheat, Darla, and Alfalfa. That's kind of the classic lineup. This was kind of before that where you had Stymie and some of these other ones. And then Spanky was kind of the crossover in between the two. And I think Spanky was the first of those ones that I mentioned. He was one of the first of that group to appear, and it was this date in 1932.
At the Hal Roach Studios.
That is correct.
Yeah.
3 years later, in 35, the trial of the century came to an end.
Hauptmann was pronounced guilty, and the Lindbergh case again hit the headlines. A defense appeal was rushed to the state capitol at Trenton, where the prosecution fought to uphold the death penalty.
Bruno Richard Hauptmann found guilty, first-degree murder, Lindbergh baby, kidnapping death. He was later executed. I think it was at the hands of old Sparky.
Yep. You are correct, sir.
And why did they call it old Sparky, Neil? the Edison effect.
Well,
yes, the electrons going through the guy's body, you put him in a vacuum, and it's he'll glow.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
So that was his date in 35. Hey, we had a big product debut and introduction in 83.
Jell-O pudding pops! Jell-O pudding pops! Frozen pudding on a stick! You know, Jell-O Pudding Pops is a winner with all the soapbox racers I know.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
It
is. And even your mechanic's getting all revved up about it because it's so rich and creamy.
Yeah!
41 years ago, Jell-O introduced Pudding Pops. Yeah, and I remember that. Oh, they were big. They were smooth. They were delicious. They were chocolatey. I think they had some of the other flavors. They had vanilla, but chocolate will always be the best.
Yeah.
And I think those sold better because then later they came out with Jell-O Gelatin Pops, which had the flavor of Jell-O gelatin. It was kind of like a Jell-O salad, if you will, where you put Jell-O and then Cool Whip in it because it had kind of that texture to it. It was those were good too. I don't know. Do they still make gelatin pops? Does anybody know? I've not had a pudding pop in forever.
I buy the no sugar added fudgicles. And popsicles, but I have not seen the Jell-O Pops.
And that was back in 83. The Jell-O Pudding Pops made its first debut, Neil. It was their first debut. I suppose if they have a debut and then they go by, you could use that as an effect. Let's say they go away for 20, 30 years and then could be their second debut. Because that would be the first time. Some people weren't born when they debuted the first time. So for them, it'd be a debut
too many,
yes. 1988, I go, Michael Jackson's buying a ranch? I just did not picture Michael Jackson in 1988 being a rancher. You know, looking at John Dutton from the Dutton Ranch and Yellowstone and all the things that go on at a ranch. I just didn't see Michael Jackson doing those things, taking guys to the train station and things like that. He had people to do that for him.
Yeah.
But Michael Jackson bought a ranch. He named it Neverland. Of course, it wasn't a real ranch. He turned it into some kind of an amusement park. Did he build it just to attract kids? Was that kind of creepy?
Well, it was a little bit. And there were accusations thrown out that there were some things that maybe shouldn't have gone on there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of hearsay, I'm sure, too.
And they just sold it maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and it sold way below market value. Nobody wanted to buy the place. It sold for like $22 million. That was way below the value.
Huh.
And I think that was below what Michael Jackson paid for it, or it was right around what Michael Jackson paid for it in 88. I think you'd get more for it in 2018 or whatever. 2008, let's go to a congressional hearing, and Roger the Rocket Clemens.
In 1999 or 2000... Andy told me he had had a conversation with Roger Clemens in which Roger admitted to him using human growth hormones. Mr. Clemens, once again, I remind you, you're under oath. You have said your conversation with Mr. Pettit never happened. If that was true, why would Laura Pettit remember Andy telling her about the conversation?
Once again, Mr. Clemens, I think he misremembers the conversation that we had. Andy and I's relationship was close enough to know that if I would have known that he had done HGH, which I now know.
Many people thought that they had learned a new word on this date, misremembered. But if you look it up, you can pretty much put miss in front of anything, and it's acceptable. So Roger Clemens was in the right. Was he in the right? Did he take growth hormone? I don't know. I think to this day he still denies it, Neil.
Yeah. There are many who think he did.
Yes.
But, yeah,
so would you put him in your category of
cheater?
Yeah.
At this point, I'm not. But, guy had a great career, and you hope that, he's on the up and up. That's what we all hope for our baseball heroes.
Why would Andy Pettit?
Or not.
Why would Andy Pettit lie? I can't remember.
Right.
You go into it, then there's probably a whole lot more that goes into it.
Right.
But, 2017, this date.
Yeah, hi, it's Husky 8-9 Hotel Uniform and the schmuck that landed on the taxi.
So, can I just get your name and your pilot's license?
My name is Harrison Ford.
Okay.
It's a backpack.
Okay. Take your time. No big deal.
It's a big deal for me.
So, on opposite ends of the pilot spectrum, you got Sully Sullenberger on one end. landing in the Hudson. And then you got Harrison Ford on the other end landing on a taxiway, almost colliding with a jumbo jet at the John Wayne Airport in Orange County, California. He was the schmuck that landed on the taxiway. Any pilot, and he didn't do it because he had to land there, like he was having issues with his plane or anything. That happened earlier. Didn't he crash like at a golf course or something? He's had a couple of issues.
Yeah, he needs to stay away.
Yeah, I don't think he's flying anymore.
No.
But maybe he is. I don't know. And obviously it proves that Chewbacca was the master pilot and the brains behind the Millennium Falcon, right?
Correct.
But, so Harrison Ford, 2017. And then 2019, it was an emotional day at NASA.
I wanted to say with the completion of tonight's commanding, this concludes operations for MER-1, spacecraft ID 253. And on behalf of the entire MER project, we'd like to thank the DSN for over 15 and a half years of outstanding support from launch until tonight.
If you're a NASA and space and Mars enthusiast, the Mars rover Opportunity, their 15-year mission, came to an end. A sandstorm came through, damaged the solar panels on Opportunity. Now, Opportunity was only supposed to last 90 days, and they got 15 years out of it.
Wow.
That is atypical to government-run things. Usually, right. You know, they'll buy a vehicle that's supposed to get 5 years out of it. They're buying a new one to replace it to spend taxpayer money in 2 months because they need a new one.
At an exorbitant cost.
The message says, my batteries are low. It's getting dark. MER-1, Mars Explorer Rover 1 Opportunity. And people were crying and hugging.
Wow.
At NASA, at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. GPL, Neil, I know that's what you call it.
Yeah, sure.
It was emotional. They had a 15-year, I don't know what they were doing with this rover, but they had a 15-year relationship with it. And now it's just stuck there on the Mars surface.
You wonder what shape it's in right now, you know, 5 years later.
At least Matt Damon could have brought it back with him.
You would think so.
Yeah.
You would think so.
Did you ever see that movie?
As long as he was there. Yeah, I did.
The Martian. That's pretty good.
Yeah. That was good.
That was a good one.
That was a good movie.
We have birthdays now today. Let's go to Rydell High.
Well, here we are again.
Yeah, but this time we're seniors.
And we're going to rule the school.
Janda, it's so adolescent.
We are adolescent. We don't have to flaunt it. Okay, girls. Let's go get them.
What was more gross in Greece, at Rydell High? Was it Hickey from Kinnicky, or was it that other girl, Jan, licking her Oreo cookies?
Yeah, I didn't like either one of them, but the whole licking on the Oreo thing was not right.
The Pink Ladies were about to take control, and I'd hope so, because Rizzo was like 34 years old. I mean, she looked like she should be working in the library or, teaching home ec. And not a student. She was 34 in 1978, and that's when that movie was released. Stockard Channing, Rizzo of the Pink Ladies, she is 80. Do you have a crush on Stockard Channing?
I found her pretty attractive, I would say.
She's a tough lady. Yeah. She's a tough gal. Yeah. I mean, she would rumble with the T-Birds as often as, she was hanging out and singing, Look at Me, I'm Sandra Dee. Stockard Channing, 80 today. We got Mike Krzyzewski. No longer the coach at Duke. He finally stepped down. He's 77. Four national titles. Coach K. They call him that because Krzyzewski's difficult to pronounce. It's harder to spell than to pronounce, to be honest.
Yeah, it starts with a K, and it doesn't sound like a K.
Krzyzewski.
Right.
He won four titles at Duke. One of them, was it one or two here at, I think they played in both of the Final Fours that were played at the Metrodome.
Yeah. For sure, the Christian Laettner one.
They certainly did. How about this? Hey, monkey, don't you know you're gonna shock the monkey? Neil, have you ever shocked the monkey?
Maybe inadvertently.
I think Edison did when he was trying to prove the Edison effect. Yeah, he shocked the monkey. And you got to be very careful. You want to shock the monkey, but you don't want to electrocute the monkey.
Right.
And if you do shock the monkey or electrocute the monkey, BJ McKay is coming after you.
Yeah.
Because he has his best friend, Bear, who just happened to
be
a monkey.
Yeah.
74, that's Peter Gabriel, of course, was in Genesis, and then he went solo. And then later on, he shocked the monkey. Peter Gabriel, 74.
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I'm part of an original crowd. And if you look around these days, there seems to be a Dr. Pepper craze. I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a
I was a pepper. I loved Dr. Pepper when I was a kid.
Never liked it.
I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper. If you drink Dr. Pepper, you're a pepper to be a pepper.
There are like 3,000 different flavors in Dr. Pepper. That's the deal with
right.
it. It's a Texas-based soda that rose up to battle the big giants of Coca-Cola and Pepsi back in the day. I'll still get myself a Dr. Pepper Zero or a Diet Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. David Naughton, he was also making it. He was quite a dancer. He's 73 today. I got a little country music here. I'm surprised I don't get more requests for this because it's such a peppy late 80s tune. Actually, more mid-80s, I think, 86. It's the Know Your Girls Next Door. Their lead singer, the kind of the leader, Doris King.
They weren't around that long,
no.
But they had a couple of good tunes that we played.
This is the best-known one, I think, Slow Boat to China. She's 67 today. They were on MTM Records. That was Mary Tyler Moore Records.
Yes. Remember that.
Foster and Lloyd, they were the... they were writers for that record company.
Okay.
And that record company also had signed Holly Dunn.
Yeah, remember that.
Judy Rodman and Paul Overstreet.
Nice. A lot of hit makers
they
right
did.
There.
They did. Here's a hit.
Here is the goal. Back with the bass. Pajamas live in effect and I don't waste
This was probably the song you were dancing to on Fox 9 that time when you couldn't hear the music because you didn't have the... earpiece in. IFB, I think is what we call that in the TV business.
Grab a girl, don't wait, make a twirl. It's your world and I'm just a squirrel.
CNC Music, it's CNC Music Factory. This is one of the most popular dance hits of all time, Neil. You not being a dancer wouldn't know that. Everybody dance now in the
yeah,
the hip-hop.
I do remember it.
Right, the rapper, the guy doing the rap there from CNC Music Factory, Freedom Williams.
Oh.
Happy birthday today, 58, and Randy Moss.
They call me the freak, man.
Why they call you the freak?
Because I'm a freak of nature. You're going to see today. Just keep your eyes glued to the TV.
Hole number 84. Straight cash, homie. He had a lot of good lines.
He had a lot of them.
I only play when I want to play.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? He didn't like the post-practice or pre-game meal that one time. I would not feed this stuff to my dog. That's when they got him in trouble with Chili and the Vikings on his second stint here. He was not with the team much longer after that.
You know, you couldn't deny his talent,
nope.
But, you know, sometimes there was no filter.
The term that comes to mind is mercurial. The mercurial Randy Moss. Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Viking true and true all the way went on to the Raiders and then the Patriots and came back. Randy Moss is 47 today, Neil.
All right, I like it. Gone, hard to believe he's already that age.
Think about it.
Gone but not forgotten today, our former First Lady of the day was Harry S. Truman's wife, Bess. Bess Truman, born on this day, 1885. She was one of us. The great athlete, Patty Burke. LPG Hall of Famer, 15 major titles. That's still the winningest mark in women's professional golf. And just to prove that she wasn't more than a golfer during the winter, because she was from Minnesota, she was also a speed skater and competed quite well at that. The great Patty Burke, born in Minneapolis, died very close to where I am here in Fort Myers, born on this day, 1918. We love his music, Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Out the window and over the gate, the big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast, shotgun boogie. I done saw your track. Look out, Mr. Rabbit, when I cock my hammer back.
I'll tell you what, shotgun boogie sounds a lot more violent than, let's say, boot scootin' boogie.
It sure does.
Or jungle boogie. Shotgun boogie.
But but you can dance to it. You know, Dick Clark and then somebody on the show would give it a big thumbs up and a high number for danceability to that. And so many others, of course, 16 Tons, you know. Country Music Hall of Famer right there. Tennessee Ernie Ford, born on this day, 1919. Same day, same year, a Grambling football coach. For years, he was the winningest coach in college football history. Eddie Robinson, born on this day, 1919. Bootle O'Brien, along with his wife, Felice, they wrote many, many hit songs. They're in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, the Country Music Hall of Fame. Bootle O'Brien, born on this day, 1920. He broke the sound barrier, first guy to do it, Chuck Yeager, and then he did battery commercials.
Yeah, right? Right, yeah, here you go. Know.
Up here, power when you need it can save your neck. When you get back down to your car, it helps too. Today's smaller engines need extra firepower from a spark plug, and AC delivers. If you could look inside your engine, you'd see an AC spark plug delivering up to 30,000 volts, firing 30 times a second.
Let me just say this. Chuck Yeager, once he gets down and he lands his F-14 or whatever he was flying with, let me tell you, he's not driving a Chevy Monza, which is what they featured in that. Let me just be
is
perfectly clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that in the commercial. Chuck Yeager's not driving that kind of vehicle, okay? He's got to go fast. He has the
something
need.
With a little more torque.
He has the need for speed.
Right. And he was pretty good at it. The great Chuck Yeager there. Born on this day, 1923. He was one of the monkeys, Peter Tork.
It's him on the piano here.
Oh, I could hide.
Who's the only one who's still alive? I'm going to guess Mickey Dolenz.
Yes, you are correct.
The 6 o'clock alarm.
He was a comical as well as a fine player, Peter Tork. Of the Monkees, born on this day, 1942. What about Jerry Springer?
Spirited crowds at his show.
Yeah, and often weird and wacky topics and people involved. Talk show, but he made it work. Jerry Springer, who was also the mayor of Cincinnati, Ohio. Born on this day, 1944. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
Your staff may have missed this guy because he just passed away. It was 3 years ago or so, 2021.
Maya, there was a day when penguins filled the sky. Terrifying nomads with their angry barking. Until the day their confidence was shattered and they never flew again.
Talking about the actor George Segal. There he is from
great.
Just Shoot Me. He was very good. He was Pops. He ended his career still acting right up to the end on the Goldbergs. George Segal, 1934. And then also, your staff has got to know this guy.
Could this mean curtains? Will the identities of our dynamic duo be revealed to the whole world? Is this the end of their career as crime fighters? Can they avert disaster? Answers tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
The narrator of the Batman and Green Hornet, too. And, you know, he was the executive producer of those shows. That was his in. And then he did the narration and the outro and the cliffhangers. And you just can't forget that voice. William Dozier, born in 1908.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Same bat time,
same bat channel.
If you watch the first couple of episodes, which I've done on, I can't remember, it was Hulu or somewhere, or Amazon, Hey Diddle Riddle was the first one with the Riddler. They didn't do Bat Time, Bat Channel the first couple of times.
No, they didn't.
They got going maybe a little bit later, maybe three or four episodes in. They decided, that will sound good.
Then that became a staple.
Iconic.
I mean,
people still say that today.
I was always bummed when it got to that point because I knew that show was over. And then I just eagerly, you know, you just couldn't wait for Thursday night.
You probably didn't sleep.
I didn't sleep.
No.
It was just so good. It's some of my most fondest childhood memories of watching Batman.
And now?
They're all gone, but not forgotten.
Leanne Rimes, Something's Gotta Give, Exile, Woke Up in Love, or Phil Vassar and his little ditty, Love is a Beautiful Thing.
Wow. like them all, but I'm going to go Exile.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDBG, Albert, KDBG, HD1, Albany, St.